underneath the night. Oh, I'm trying.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. My guest is Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, we began our conversation, for those who may just be joining us, and I was asking the question about the fact that the world has changed, and yet we in this nation and those who represent us still just don't want to accept the fact that we are no longer a lone superpower. That was only a short period of time. We still look clearly with our chest poked out, Sandy, that we've got more nuclear weapons in our arsenal than basically almost the rest of the entire nations combined. And ours probably is up to date as anybody's other than Israel's. But we as American citizens, you know, we get excited about that. We get comfortable and we feel like, you know, well, we've got the most powerful military in the world. We're safe. Is that way of thinking, I think, Sandy's got to change at some point.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think we have to make sure that we're always rational about what we're doing. Russia does have a bunch of troops surrounding Ukraine. They're asserting that they're surrounding Ukraine because we are feeding the Ukraine with weapons, and we're making the putting the Ukraine in the position to potentially reassert its authority over Crimea, or to have more strength in the contested eastern parts of Ukraine, where there are many pro-Russian dissidents who want to break out of Ukraine. So it's essentially a civil matter inside Ukraine, and so we're doing that. Russia's saying, well, we're only putting people around the edge of the Ukraine so that we're essentially drawing a red line for you, Ukraine and the United States, that you don't do these things. And it is true that they took Crimea forcefully, but that's now a fait accompli. It's more complicated than you know we talk about. I think it's perfectly good for us to tell Russia that invading the Ukraine will have consequences. If in fact Russia is thinking about invading Ukraine, I think we're imputing that to Russia when it might not be the case. And if we react to that threat or that perceived threat in a paranoid way by sending lots of weapons and doing lots of things to change the dynamic in terms of power between Ukraine and Russia, it might become a self-fulfilling prophecy that wouldn't have happened in the first place. Same as in China and Taiwan, same kind of deal. Now, the fact is that Russia knows and China knows that we will not push nuclear buttons over Ukraine, and we won't push nuclear buttons over Taiwan. So it isn't really nuclear deterrent that's going to stop people. It's really, what are the other ramifications? What else will they experience in terms of the downside as the result of it? But we have to be careful that we don't push from our side so hard that our perceived threats from them, like Taiwan and Ukraine, which might have only been theoretical, become self-fulfilling prophecies because of the things we do. And that's always been the danger in the Cold War, was that we, in our reactions, would actually prompt the other side to do the things, make it more likely they would do the things that we were afraid they would do by our own conduct. And that's what I fear was going on today.
But Sandy, our hands, those nations are looking at us and saying, hey, you invaded Afghanistan and you stayed there all of those years. And, you know, so those nations are saying, who are you to say to us, you know, what's right and what's wrong?
Well, there's definitely that view in the rest of the world, that the United States runs around telling people what to do and sticks their nose in their business. And they stick their nose in their business, and it isn't always because they ignore sticking their nose in the business of others where it might seem more likely they should. I mean, we've given the Saudis a total free ride when the internal conduct inside Saudi Arabia of their government is pretty reprehensible. But they have a free ride from us, whereas it's not the same with some of the Slavic nations or some of the Asian nations. So, yeah, we have acted capriciously and very officiously in terms of our foreign affairs conduct.
Let's do this. Let's bring on Mark from the SAC. Hey, Mark, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, it's unfortunate for the for Russia that we didn't supply Marshall Plan type aid to them when the Soviet Union collapsed, rather than sending our Chicago school boys over there to teach the oligarchs over there the fine art of neoliberalism and robbing from the people. That and that's just a thumbnail thing of how I've pieced that together in my own head. But I mean, we've had 4 years of Donald Trump not really, more or less being servile to Russia, and Russia probably realized that if Trump was gone, that he would get the same, he would not get the, I mean, that Putin would probably realize that when Trump was gone, that he would get the same servility that he received under Donald Trump. And what surprises me, the self-same Republicans who, within living memory, were condemning the Soviet Union, condemning Russia, and condemning communism and all this, have now fully embraced, the Russians. And, in fact, many of them probably have, DACAs over in Russia now, and along with the some of the religious right leaders, apparently, that have homes in the evil empire, as it were. They called it, not all that long ago, and have embraced, the authoritarianism of the new Russia. And, Russia is no longer communist, but it's authoritarian as it has been for thousands of years, for, over 1,000 years, since the time of the first Tsar. And they may be contained, but maybe that's not the right word to use, is containment, because they have their own self-interest. But we also, the nations surrounding them, some of them want to be independent, like the Baltic states and, Poland and parts of Ukraine. And I'm done. Okay. Go ahead.
Mark, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you still with us?
I say we'll go ahead and get Sandy back in here.
Wait, okay. I'm sorry. Something happened with my device.
That's all right.
Yeah.
You want to respond to anything that Mark said?
Well, I think he did an adequate job of talking about how it's complicated. On both sides.
Yeah, but the whole world is complicated.
That's the problem with trying to simplify it and trying to adopt strategies and policies that simplify it down to good guys and bad guys and red lines and what have you. I mean, I just am afraid that the U.S. foreign policy has always had trouble with nuances and has always had trouble understanding sophisticated issues and separating them from simplified issues. And what's going on in the Ukraine is a source of great complexity, and there's much to be said on both sides of the problem. And the history is as well. I mean, the Ukrainian nationalists have a strong historical thread that runs all the way back to Nazism. And so the, good guys, bad guys, it's hard to tell. And same is true with Taiwan. Taiwan's history goes back to Chiang Kai-shek, and Chiang Kai-shek, who led the nationalists in the civil war with the communists, turns out history looked at and evaluated and said this guy was a crooked bad guy. Good guys and bad guys, it's hard to tell. We married the Vietnamese government, which was a terrible institution for our own reasons, and so we've always had trouble evaluating situations because of our tendency to try and divide things on a world basis that breaks down to some kind of historical ideologies.
Sandy, you look at the fact that the National Defense Authorization Act is is moving forward, and you know, there's more and more money that's involved in it, and to address you know, Russia and China, and that verbiage is actually in the bills that many of these things have to be done. And we all know the world, you know, is at your fingertips. And when they hear those types of things, it certainly doesn't endear those nations to our government. And I'm one who doesn't believe we need to be adding additional billions of dollars, since we don't spend the money that we have. We've got more money allocated than they ever spend. And to saber rattle, you know, that we need this now because of, you know, to detour China and Russia. I mean, we've got to get beyond that kind of talk, don't we?
Well, that's what I was saying before in the when we closer to the opening of the show, that if we don't begin to evaluate and reevaluate this perceived need we have to be the dominant nation everywhere in the world, which is going to suck us dry financially and is sucking us dry financially with respect to defense budget and the allocation of money, the prioritization of our expenditures is such that it's beginning to be contributing to the breakdown of our society. You and I talked, I think, a while ago. We are experiencing a societal breakdown based on the inability of this country and the establishment of this country to identify and understand what's going on and the direction that we're headed that needs to be averted. And to avert that will require that we begin to spend money like other civilized nations do, and not the way we do. You know, we and Russia were unique in terms of our willingness to spend such a large percentage of our GDP on defense. It sucked Russia dry. They were expending even a higher portion of theirs. China doesn't even come close with their expenditures to the level of expenditure we have. And we ought to just look at that and try and figure out whether all of what we assert to be the reasons why we're spending that money, just how valid are all those reasons.
You know, Sandy and Joe, we'll get you on the other side because I want to give you a chance to, you know, get your opinion in. You know, Sandy, it's just frustrating to me that, again, as the American citizens, you know, we I don't know if we're really aware of what is taking place in our country as it relates to our relations with nations like Russia and China. And I know we ignore those things a lot, Sandy, because of our might, but that certainly can lead to the downfall, our arrogance. And so the American people to me, Sandy, really don't want to pay attention to these kinds of things right now. It's the Christmas holiday. Why are we talking about
it? Yeah. You know, I think it's because it's complicated. We don't like thinking about complicated things. It used to be, and it maybe is the case now again, that administrations found it very attractive to talk about international crises at a time when they needed a sparkly object to divert our attention from things that were going on inside the country that maybe weren't quite so pleasant. And so, you know, it's always been known that politically it's easier to unify the country when the country feels like it's under attack or needs to be. And so hopefully that isn't what's going on now. I mean, there's obviously saber rattling going on in the world, but I'm afraid that our intelligence apparatus has become entirely suspect. It used to be, as an American, we sort of trusted what the intelligence apparatus and the CIA told us was going on. And then, of course, we ended up with those centrifuged deals in Niger that weren't actually going to create weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Sandy, hold that thought. We got to go to break. We'll come to you guys on the phone on the other side. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back.